Amen.
All right. It's been great, guys. It's good to be here with you this afternoon to share the word. What I want to do is have you turn to Psalms chapter 34. And I actually have a few places this morning I want to look at. We're going to start in Psalms 34. I'm going to have you stick a marker in 1 Samuel 21. We're going to go right to 1 Samuel 21 after I read Psalms 34. And then later in our study, we will look at Acts chapter 16 and 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Once again, Psalms 34, a marker in 1 Samuel 21, also a marker in Acts 16 and 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'll repeat those verses, passages as we go along this afternoon. It is a joy to come back to Calvary Chapel of Milwaukee and to be able to share in the word with you guys. And I just want to thank Pastor Lowell and Diane and the leadership of Calvary Chapel of Milwaukee for hosting this this day. And you know, this is really neat and unique to be able to just get away and for us just to worship God and to study the word, to laugh together, to see some friends that we haven't seen in a long time. You know, when John was up sharing, a lot of memories were just flooding my mind of when we all used to be together, you know, and you guys can only imagine how much fun we must have had. And, you know, Pastor Lowell and I, we've always been very competitive, you know, and we've always been very, and I know you guys are like, I got it from him kind of a thing, you know, is what I always tell people. We've always been very competitive. And I remember when we came here, it was so awesome just to set up camp, do ministry. And then John, all of a sudden, John came along, and that was just like the unique thing, Irish, New York, and we really didn't know what to think at first, but we just kind of went with it, and it was so incredible. And then after that, Terry came along, and Terry came along and kind of just, I mean, Terry's real serious. You'll see when he's up teaching, and Terry's real serious, you know, and it was kind of like, what do we do kind of a thing. And finally, Terry just kind of, I like this. It was so cool. And, but I can tell you guys over the years, especially in the past, the times that we had in just serving the Lord together, watching our kids grow up, and, you know, just doing ministry, it's always been just a joy. And so for me to be able to come with these guys and tag team with these guys and sharing the scriptures, you don't know how much of an honor and how much of a blessing it is to me and to hear them teach. And I've been up to Green Bay, at the fellowship there, and it's really, really neat to see what the Lord is doing. Looking forward to coming up to Colesville, I think it is, and see what the Lord is doing up in Colesville. But man, we are truly blessed. And so let's get in the word this morning. Psalms chapter 34. I want to start there. In verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's the theme of our conference this day, this Saturday. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen, Lord. Amen. Okay, you couldn't have planned that, right? I mean, I couldn't have planned that.
Thank you, Robert. Great.
Trust me, I didn't plan that. I've been asking the Lord, it's like, do we share this? Do we share that? What do we share? Like, maybe that was confirmation. Those guys said, don't worry, it'll come. You know, and I was like, okay. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I want to start in verse 9. And the reason I want to read 1 Samuel 21 is I want to put things in context this afternoon, what I want to talk about. And The only way to be able to put it in context is to be able to just read this to you. And when I make reference to it, you can say, yeah, we read that. I know exactly what he's talking about. 1 Samuel 21, verse 9. So the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed is in the valley of Elah. There it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is no other except that one here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him the one to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Verse 13, so he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down to his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Let's pray one more time, guys, over the word. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. And Lord, I know that it takes the Spirit of God to anoint the word of God and the ears of the people of God in order for us to hear what you have to say to us. And so, God, I pray that this afternoon, your Spirit would just anoint this time. Lord, I pray you would give us ears to hear what you would say to us. I thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you so much, Lord, for this call in my life to be able to serve you. And I thank you, Lord, that you've called my wife, our wives, alongside of us to serve you. And God, I pray we would do it with all our might. And Lord, we would serve you, not looking to the left or the right, but always being mindful of even what we have come here for this weekend, to magnify you. So Lord, be magnified in your people. Be glorified as we look to your word and as we give attention to the scriptures today, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've been given the title praising, but this is what I want you to do, because at first what I was doing, I was like, okay, when he says praising, does he mean us praising God, or do he mean we praise our wives? And I was kind of like, well, I don't really know what it is. And so Lord is like, what do we do here? And this is what I want to do. First of all, I think it is imperative that we first, always, as John was saying, give praise to God, or put God first. Because that's what we're going to look at, first of all, okay? And then, hopefully, if I have enough time, we'll look at how important it is to praise or to compliment our wives, or to compliment your husband, ladies, as it would be. This is what I want to do. We're talking about praising, okay? Under that title, I want you to write the subtitle, worship as a weapon, okay? Worship as a weapon. You're going to get what I'm talking about as we go along in this study. Psalms 34 is a psalm of David. The title says, when he pretended madness before Abimelech while fleeing from Saul. David was desperate. David was so desperate that David fled from his own land and went to live in the land of the Philistines, in particular in Gath, the enemies, the arch enemies of the nation of Israel. Now, Gath had been the hometown of Goliath, whom David had killed years earlier. And now here David is in Gath, and he has the sword of Goliath, I don't know, in his pocket or on his side. And this just takes boldness of this guy, if you check this out. And now some believe that this was a sad time in David's life and in his ministry. And he wasn't really trusting God to protect him from Saul. And I understand why many would say that. Because the pattern that we've seen in David's life, if you follow David's life, the pattern up to this point has always been to trust God. One of the things I really love is when David in 1 Samuel 17, they went out and remember the nation of Israel, they're fighting against the Philistines. And here's this giant Goliath. He comes out and David comes up from home, bringing some supplies to his brothers and to the rest of the guys. And David comes up and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? Now, you have to understand, I think David may have had like a little attitude. You know, he may have been going, who is this guy? Who does he think he is?
we serve the living God. And David may have been like, can you tell me who this guy is? No.
What is he? You're kidding me, right?
You've got to be kidding me, right? We serve the living God. And he called him uncircumcised Philistine.
And remember when David went out to fight with Goliath?
Goliath said, you mean to tell me you're going to send a boy out? And he's going to bring sticks and to fight with me? And Goliath said, man, I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds. And David, remember what David said? He goes, man, I'll tell you what. He goes, you come to me with javelin and spears. He said, you know what? I'm going to do you in. You know, I can imagine David probably had a little attitude. I'm going to do you in. You think you're going to do, I'm going to do you in. Because there's that taunting going on. Uncircumcised Philistine. You send this kid out. And David says, man, you think you're going to do me in? I'm going to do you in. You know, maybe David wasn't trusting God later in his life when he was running from Saul. Maybe David was, as we read, was afraid. And I understand why people say that maybe David wasn't trusting God. But I want to point out a reason maybe David at this time found it hard to trust God. And whether that is true or not, that David wasn't really trusting in God, listen, guys, his fears, his sadness, and his madness was altered by his praise. David did cry out for help and was delivered. Psalms 34 makes that very clear. You know, it's been said, when we fail to praise someone that deserves praise, two things happen. We deprive ourselves of the happiest privilege of being rewarder to him who deserves honor, and we rob ourselves of the highest honor we can give to God. John Stott said this concerning praise and worship. He said, quote, true worship is the highest and noblest activity which man, by the grace of God, is capable, end quote. One of the many things I love about the Psalms is when I read through them, when I see Psalms like this Psalm here, how David responded to problems in his life. This is one of the many things. In fact, I sat down the other day and I just literally turned to, I think, all of the Psalms, every one of the Psalms, and I was really amazed by how David, in so many instances in his life, he broke forth in praising God no matter what it was. I can account all of them, and you probably know them. Absalom, Saul, of course, Bathsheba, of course, when Ahithophel would betray him. Shimei would be cursing him. Even when David, in his own sin, was numbering the people. And so many of the Psalms recount in David's life how David responded to problems in his life. Listen, guys, when problems arise in our lives, our natural tendency is to worry, to become anxious, depressed, or even discouraged, or turn to things that offer a temporary fix. What weapon do you use to attack your problems? I want to show you the weapon that David used. I want to show you the weapon that Saul and Silas used. I want to show you the weapon that Jehoshaphat used to attack the problems that came into their lives. There is no question of whether or not we will have problems. We will always. Listen, saints, we will always have problems as long as we live in a fallen world. We will have problems as long as we live in this fallen world. And when we worship, sometimes our problems don't go away. Saul still chased David. The question lies in how we respond. See, in Psalms 34 is how David responded to a huge problem in his life. As Christ followers, worship, listen, is our main weapon against life's problems. Look at what David said back in Psalms 34, if you're not back there. Look at what David said in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Look at verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and notice this, and delivered me from all my fears. In verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. One last verse, 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. When drama comes our way, it is easy to imagine the worst. But we are called to focus on the truth of God's promises and his word. Guys, not on the information in front of us. Listen, the truth is, no problem is stronger than God. No circumstance that you face in life today is bigger than God. Your God can take care of absolutely anything that you may be going through in life right now. Be it your marriage, on work, it doesn't matter. Your God, our God, is bigger than any problem that we ever face. I have learned, I'm not saying learning, I have learned to not always look at the problem, but to say, wait a minute, God. See, David is not just looking at the problem. He stops somewhere in the madness, maybe he wiped the saliva off his face and said, what am I doing here? You know, why am I acting like this? And he put his attention not on his problem, but he focuses on God. And something happened in David's life. You know, it's so easy to criticize David. Oh, look at David. He's fearful. I mean, they even reminded David of the top 10 song that was going around. Saul slain his thousands and David's, his 10,000s. Why didn't David get encouragement from that? Let me tell you something. When you have someone like Saul chasing you like a dog, his life is being threatened every day. David doesn't even know, am I going to even make it to the next day? And here's a guy who has the majority of Israel on their side, chasing me, trying to kill me. No doubt David is a little fearful. No doubt David is going to probably do some things that don't make sense in his own life. And yet David came to his senses when he looked to God and began to praise God. Wait a minute, what's wrong? You know, one psalm David said this, wake up, oh my soul. Don't you love that? David said, well, wait a minute, why are you cast down, oh my soul? Because it's so easy sometimes when we're going through just the motion of ministry, life, it is so easy to get caught up in the drama and lose sight of this incredible God that we serve. Have you ever had a brother or sister come alongside you when maybe you were dealing with some things in life, and they've come alongside and they've reminded you of God's past victories, and you know, and you hear that and it comes in one ear and it immediately goes out the other ear. Not that they've done anything wrong. They've done what God has called them to do. That's happened to me before. Those words sometimes seem empty. I have a suggestion the next time we are called alongside each other, in times like what David is going through, this is where I want you to make your way to Acts chapter 16. The next time that you and I are called alongside each other, someone, whether it would be in marriage counseling, to encourage a young couple in their marriage, to even share with someone maybe who is just struggling in their relationship with Christ, in Acts chapter 16, it is a story when Paul and Silas, they were there in Philippi. And I love this story. Paul and Silas, as they were, you know, spent some time in prayer, and they were on their way along the road there, and they met this gal who was a fortune teller. She practiced divination. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16 that she brought her master much profit. And as she's going along and she's yelling out how Paul and Silas are the servants of the Most High God, and Paul finally just turns around and says, you know, demon, come out of her. And here it is, this gal, she's set free. And of course, because of that, she's no longer practicing divination. She's no longer a fortune teller. She's no longer living that old life. And her master gets upset. They bring Paul and Silas before the magistrates. Long story short, ended up being Paul and Silas are thrown in jail. Now understand this, Paul and Silas were not thrown in the jails we have today, okay? Cable TV, you know, three meals a day. No, the Bible says this, they were thrown in the inner prison. And I find it very interesting that it makes the distinction between the prison and the inner prison, the dungeon, and they were chained together. Now I want you to notice Acts 16:25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. I love this. Here it is, Paul and Silas. They get in a little trouble. Can you imagine it? Silas say, Paul, man, I guess we got ourselves in one this time. Yeah, I know, Silas. You know what, Silas? Let's pray, man. Lord, you know what? We thank you. Lord, I especially want to thank you because you said, Lord, in Acts chapter 9, that I would preach the gospel. You know, you promised, Lord, and silence is going, amen, Paul. Imagine probably Paul and Silas. Hey, Paul, you remember that song we used to sing, Be Still? You know, as we were walking along the road, Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Oh, man, Silas, I remember. Bear patiently. Can you imagine that? The cross of grief or pain. Be still, my soul. Oh, yeah, Silas. Or maybe this one. Hey, Paul, how about this one? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Yeah, I remember that, Paul. You know, because it says they're singing hymns, right? Or how about, come thy fount of every blessing. Oh, Silas, man, I do remember that. And it says the prisoners are listening to them. In the next verse, 29, suddenly. Okay, you have to understand, as they're singing, suddenly, I don't know, maybe God got into this worship or something, because it says suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. As they're worshiping God, as they're praying to God, here it is, I don't know, maybe God got into it and there's a stomp or whatever it was, and all of a sudden, they're loosed. I absolutely love this. In the midst of praising God, in the midst of praying, God is moving. Here's my suggestion the next time we are called alongside a brother or sister. Of course, we pray with them. That's what we do. We pray with people. This is what Jesus calls us to do. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. But let me suggest this. How often do we direct them to worship God? Remember what David said in verse 3, oh, come, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. How many times do we say, you know what, here's a CD or here's a tape or whatever it is. Worship God. Hey, don't put all your attention on your problems right now. Go worship the Lord. Do you know how many times we as believers fail to do this one thing that got David out of a bad problem in his life? Where David stops and says, I don't know, maybe he's talking to the men who were with him or whomever he's talking to, but he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. And David writes one of the most powerful psalms in my estimate. Worship reminds our hearts where our hope lies. Praise and worship became Paul and Silas' weapon. Worship, praising God, became David's weapon. Couples, young and seasoned, here's a principle. If we have in place, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. The natural response of any redeemed creature should be to extol the one who has redeemed him, who has redeemed her. It should be our natural response. It seems like this was so natural for David. One moment he's acting crazy, and the next moment he's just worshiping God. I am learning this. Has to be the natural response of Robert, no matter what problems come my way, no matter what I have to face in life, it is to praise the one who deserves my praise, in spite of what I'm going through. How could Jesus on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? How is it then that he can turn and say, Father, forgive them? How is it then he can turn in those seven utterances from the cross? It is finished. The person who has experienced God's love and mercy will naturally look to others to praise God with him. Again, Paul and Silas, they are there. They're praising God. David, verse 3. Couples, when we worship God, sometimes our problems may not go away. But what the devil threatens to do in our lives through those problems goes away. In fact, I can pretty much guarantee you, if you got problems right now when you leave this one-day conference, they're going to be there tomorrow. But here's the key. You have a choice. I have a choice. Just like Paul and Silas and David had a choice, they gave God an opportunity to work. What if Paul and Silas would have just sat there, man, you know, I thought we were going to serve the Lord and we were going to go over here and do this. I thought ministry was going to be like that. You know, man, this is a bummer, man. I don't like this. You know, and then look at us. We're all chained up. You know, can you imagine? Isn't that how we are sometimes? I don't like ministry. I'm ready to move. You know, I don't like Wisconsin, you know. I don't like Wisconsin. It's getting cold. It's already October, you know. Next week, it's supposed to be 50 degrees, you know, and I don't like Wisconsin. I remember one time I was driving down the freeway, and man, I was complaining. Can I just share some personal stuff with you? Don't mind, do you, right? Our congregation, they're like, oh, yeah, we're used to this. It's like, yeah. And I was really complaining. And you know what? I was scoffing at God's call. And I remember the Holy Spirit, it wasn't an audible voice. Sure would love to hear one. I'm still asking God for that audible voice. I really am. Honestly, no, this is not a joke. I really want to hear God's voice. I really do. And I do ask him quite often, Lord, I just want to hear your voice. They heard it. And I was having a pity party. Ministry's this. This. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. Says, Robert, you're not giving me an opportunity. You know, Robert, you scoff at my call as though I. Yeah, I know, man. I was crying. I was literally crying. Of course, I had to repent. From that moment on, I realized that I need to give God an opportunity to work. And sometimes, guys, as simple as praying and singing a hymn will loosen so many chains, so much depression, oppression, discouragement by singing a couple of hymns. I like to write them out. I just, you know, it may not be hymns. You might like the contemporary music. That's fine. We worship God. And I've written them out, or else I've memorized them, or else there are certain songs I've just put in my mind because sometimes I need it in my arsenal as a weapon to draw from, because sometimes there are things that are trying to bind me in, that are trying to discourage me and depress me. And there are sometimes I can look to the future, I can look ahead, and guess what happens? I can bum out because of what's coming. And I forget who sits on the throne, who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega. And sometimes I can lose sight of that, and a simple hymn will break the chains. Not only did Paul and Silas give God opportunity, I want us to look at Jehoshaphat. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. We're going to have enough time, guys. Second Chronicles chapter 20 starts in verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and the others with them besides the Ammonites came and battled against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat, verse 3, feared. We saw the same thing with David, didn't we? David was afraid, and it says here, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Now from verses 7 through 13, Jehoshaphat just basically recounts God's past victories. And he talks about how God will deliver them in the future. Jump down to verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazael, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, and the son of Mathaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. One last verse, 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Jehoshaphat is being attacked by three different nations. Does he freak out? Does he become discouraged? Does he become depressed? No, the Bible says that he seeks the Lord. Verse 3 and 4, he set his face to seek the Lord. Guys, it is so important to seek God every day, because listen, we never know when we will need his strength or his guidance or his power for our lives. It is so important to just make it a natural pattern to seek God every day. The people that God has called us to serve, listen, they need the word of God as their strength, the promises of God, the reminders of God in their lives, and not just our wisdom or our familiarity. Now catch this, at this point in Jehoshaphat's story, the battle has not yet been won. In fact, the battle hasn't even happened yet. It just says that they're coming out. They haven't even begun to engage in battle. Yet Jehoshaphat worships the Lord. Oh, what victory would come our way if we only start to praise him when we see the threats coming or hear about the threats. Just at that moment, it's like he begins to seek the Lord and he's worshiping God. God says, man, don't worry about that. Just, you know what? The Lord's with you. Listen, saints, God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's always going to be with you as a child of God. What mother would leave her child? No mother would leave her child. At least no mother in her right mind would leave her child. And God's always in his right mind, okay? He'll never leave his children. He'll never forsake his children. Jehoshaphat acknowledged that God is above all. Lifting God to his proper place helps us realize that we don't live under our problems, but under a mighty God. Man, God, no one can withstand you, Jehoshaphat says. I'm like, wow, man, this is so cool, Jehoshaphat. You know, worry takes the battle itself, but worship surrenders the battle to God. You see, worship became a weapon. To Paul, to Silas, to David, to Jehoshaphat, it became a weapon. And they're not pulling out swords and all these things. Paul and Silas are not down there trying to saw the chain off. No, what are they doing? They just simply worship God. Praise God. Now, I want to, just for these last few minutes, I want to look at it from the standpoint of as couples now. When you think about it, this is so unique right here, to come together with your spouse and worship the Lord together. And guys, listen, all the chains and all the things that sometimes bind us in marriage, we need to leave those things on the cross and understand that it's through worship and praising God that he will take those things and deal with those things or make whatever it is you're going through manageable in your marriage or in life. But this is what God requires of us and wants from us, because we are all redeemed creatures. It's to say, God, we want to lift you and up and magnify you. I don't care what I'm going through, Lord. It doesn't matter what I'm going through right now, Lord. Because listen, Lord, you deserve my praise. You deserve me to lift my hands to you with my wife. I want to just lift my hands to you, Lord. And I just want to praise you, Lord. I hate to do the monkey wrench like Lowell did, but I'm going to ask Tony and my dear sister Katie, Revelation song. And this is what I want us to do, because I get 5 minutes left, so I get to use my, right? I get to use my 5 minutes, right? Cute. I got the 5 minutes. Revelation song, and this was not planned, okay? It really wasn't. But this is what I really want us to do, because I didn't know, and I'll be honest, I didn't know how to intertwine this or weave this in with marriage and praising God, because I think that me praising God with all my heart and all my soul will immediately help me to praise and glorify the Lord for this woman that he's given me. Or to come alongside of her and say, hey, Jackie, listen, I want to compliment you here. I want to commend you here. And I want to, in a sense, praise you. Not in a sense like I do God now, okay? I'm not worshiping her, but in the sense of just saying, you know what? I thank God for you. And this is why Revelation song, I just want, can we, is that okay? It's too late now. It's kind of like, well, we're up here now, you know, bro. You know, you didn't give us that chance when we were sitting down to say no. We're family, man. We can do this stuff, you know. Don't you love it? The flexibility. And you know what, guys? Revelation song. Worthy is the Lamb, you know, who was slain. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of his name. But this is what I want us to do. I think we're going to have a really good communion time too. I just would, when we sing this song, I want us to all stand and sing this song together. I want you to just hold your wife's hand. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to hold my wife's hand. And let's just sing this song with our wives together. If he can work that whole thing out, right? Again, it wasn't planned, and I've got 5 minutes. It wasn't planned, but I think that would be really neat. Because I was really thinking a lot about this. And a lot of times when we gather together in church, we just worship God, you know, as individuals, don't we? Really, we do. And we're supposed to. You know what I mean? Because it is a personal relationship. But because he's our groom and we are the bride and we're together corporately, I don't think it would be dishonoring God to hold your wife's hand while you both praise him together, because two shall become one. Okay? So really, one is exalting God, but you're holding your bride's hand as you and I just get to worship the Lord as we worship the Lord corporately. I'm going to close with this story. Then we're going to do this. After attending church one Sunday, a little boy knelt at his bedside that night and prayed. He said, "Dear God, we had a good time in church today." And he said this, "But I wish you had been there." Listen, if you want God to start showing up in your churches, in your marriage, in your home, we better give him center stage. If you want him there, it has to have center stage. If you want him to show up in your life right now, or every day in life, you have to give him center stage. And Lord, I want to thank you so much for your presence in this place. You know, Lord, it's almost like the moment we walked in these doors, you could sense your presence. And Lord, I do believe it's because you want to do a mighty work through our lives. I pray that our wives would never, ever feel they have to take backstage. But Lord, they would always know that beside every man of God is a woman of God. And Lord, I pray that as we close this afternoon with just worshiping you, individually, but also corporately. God, I beg you, please pour your Holy Spirit on us. Lord, I need a fresh filling of your Spirit. Lord, I need to sense your presence today. I need you, Lord, to work in my marriage. I need you to work in my children, in our church. And Lord, I just want to, as the leader of my home and as a pastor called, I just want to honor you, God, in all things of my life. I want to ask you, God, to forgive me of those times, Lord, where I've misrepresented you. For Lord, I have not given you that place of honor in my own heart. I want to thank you for your son. And Lord, I pray that as we sing this song together, that we would lift our voices and our hands, worship our King. Thank you, Lord.